This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
So in the book of Exodus, of course, it beautifully depicts the coming out of Egypt of the children of Israel, and also of the construction of the tabernacle. We hit the tabernacle at least once a year, sometimes even twice a year, because it's such a beautiful picture of our access to God for the Christian. It's an Old Testament picture, word picture, that was set up in the wilderness, and it depicted Jesus Christ. Every aspect of it was a picture of Christ, but it depicted our access to God. And the purpose of the tabernacle, Exodus 25:8, the purpose of the tabernacle, you remember what the tabernacle was, right? Most of you do, I'm sure. It was a fenced-in area that where the sacrifices were performed and the other things were performed prior, and the Ark of the Covenant was, the mercy seat and all of that, was inside the fenced area. The purpose of it, 25:8 of Exodus, is let them make me a tabernacle or a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God wanted to be personal with his people. He wanted to be personal. He didn't want to be some abstract God way off in the heavens somewhere that was unreachable. He wanted to be personal with his people, and built a tabernacle with which he could be found. Remember, we said the tabernacle is a picture of Christ. So where can God be found? Through Christ. And that's the message. The high fence surrounded the tabernacle, the sanctuary, and there was only one entrance. There was no exit door in the back. There was no side entrances. Do not know if it would have passed the fire marshal's codes, not having enough exit space, but there was only one entrance into the tabernacle. There was no other way in, and that was through an east gate. The east gate. In this room, I'm facing north, so east would be that way. There'd only be one door, and it would be that door over there. It would be the only door into this room. And there was no other doors. And when the believer came in, when the priest came in, and you are all today believer priests, but when the priest came in, he would walk in through the east door and he would be facing the west, which was a great, great difference from all of the heathen and pagan religions, because without question, almost all of them, when they worshiped their gods, they always faced to the east. And so turning our back on all other religions, all other faiths, all other ways to God that people claim to be, we turn our back on all of that and we face in and come in through the east gate into the tabernacle. And so God cannot be approached from any other direction. That's the only way in. No matter what people say or what people might think, there is only one way into God. There's only one way to heaven. There is only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. So the heathen, as we said, would face west, but the believer would face west, the heathen would face to the east. So then the first thing you encounter when you came in through the door is there would be an altar there, square altar, rectangular altar, there where the sacrifice would be burnt, would be sacrificed, would be killed, and then it would be burnt. It was the brazen altar. It was made out of brass. And the priest would offer a sacrifice there for the sins of the people, and that would have to include himself as well, because he himself was a sinner, the human priest. So they would go offer the sacrifice for the people. They would sacrifice at the brazen altar, and there the sacrifice would die and the blood would be shed. And that, of course, would depict the cross of Jesus Christ coming in the future, where there would be another sacrifice and there would be more blood shed, and there would be, of course, the blood of Christ. But at the foot of the altar, when you would walk into the tabernacle and you would face the brazen altar, you would stand there at the foot of the altar. You would stand there and the sacrifice would be made, and there would be a collection underneath the altar. There was a place for the blood to drain, and they would actually collect the blood into a basin, and that basin would be carried in all the way into the Holy of Holies before the procession was over, because you could not go into the presence of God, the very Shekinah presence of God, apart from having blood. You had to have the blood. So, and of course, that goes all the way back throughout, back to Genesis chapter 3, when blood had to be shed to provide a covering for Adam and Eve when they sinned. And then in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, the Jewish people escaped judgment by putting blood on the doorposts of their house, on the sides and on the top. And when I see the blood, judgment will pass over you. When judgment came to Egypt, judgment could not touch those who were under the blood. And so that is the beautiful picture we have all through Scripture of safety from judgment, is because of the blood, not because of good works, not because you belong to a certain denomination, not because you've gone to church all your life, not because you're a good person, not because of any of these factors. The only thing that keeps us safe from judgment against sin is the blood of Christ. That is it. And when you become born again, you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are cleansed in His eternal blood, and you are saved forever. So we just present the blood. That was done at the altar of sacrifice, which depicts the cross of Jesus Christ. And there at the cross, the same thing happened. You received Christ as your Savior, and the blood of Christ cleanses you. Now, in the Old Testament, presenting the blood, of course, was enough for the worshiper at this point to be declared, once the blood was shed on behalf of the worshiper, the person bringing the offering, once the blood was shed, that person was declared holy and righteous before God. As far as God was concerned, that was enough to cleanse them from sin completely. Now, thousands of these sacrifices happened in the Old Testament. Thousands of them took place in the Old Testament at the altars of sacrifice in the tabernacle, later on in the temple. These things took place time and time again. There were sacrifices going on all of the time. But in the New Testament, we don't do that anymore. We don't have daily sacrifices or weekly sacrifices or feast day sacrifices for the cleansing of sin. We don't have certain days in the year that are called atonement days, where we atone for our sins. We have a offering that was offered for us more than 2,000 years ago, and it was a once and for all offering. So in Hebrews 9:28, you'll see in the very first part, it says Christ was offered once to bear the sins of the many. He was offered just once, one sacrifice, one time going to the cross. He doesn't have to go back to the cross once a year. We don't have to go through the Passion once every year to deal with the sins of the many. He dealt with it once. Once he went to the cross, and that was sufficient because of the value of the sacrifice. We're not dealing with a lamb or a bullock or a pigeon or anything else here at the altar. We're dealing with the God's only begotten Son. The value of that offering is so great that His shed blood is so efficacious. It takes care of the many forever. It doesn't need to be offered again and again. Hebrews 10 and verse 12, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice, which is himself, he offered himself. As high priest, he brought himself to the altar. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Then he sat down at the right hand of God. It was done. Sitting down means it's finished. It's over. The work's been done. And you can sit. And so he did it once. He offered it once. The sacrifice was once. And that was completely done. The person from that point on is a saved person. Sins transferred to the sacrifice, the righteousness of the sacrifice transferred to the sinner. The sinner is now righteous in the eyes of God, and he that knew no sin became sin and suffered death and the humility of that death and shed his blood for you and for me. And that is the great gospel message. That is what we have to share. And from that moment, we are now saved. And so now the priest can move from that altar. You can go out from that altar and go through from the altar. You go to the next thing that happens inside the tabernacle. And the next thing that needs to happen inside the tabernacle, not to save you, you're already saved. You're already going to heaven. You already have Christ in your heart. You're already a Christian. You're already going to heaven. But the next thing that God would like to see happen in our lives is that we go to the next piece of furniture in the tabernacle, which is the laver. L-A-V-E-R. That's the next thing God would really like to see you and I go and do. The laver was positioned between the altar and the next room. The next room is called the holy place, and the room after that is called the Holy of Holies. There's three parts to the tabernacle once you go in the door. There's the outer court where the brazen altar is, and then there's the Holy of Holy Place where there is other things. We'll talk about that. And then beyond that, there is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat in the third room, which is called the Holy of Holies. So we got the outer court, the holy place, the Holy of Holies. Three rooms. So before he goes into this room number two, he needs to go to this piece of furniture that is in the outer court along with the altar. And it is called a laver. And it is like one of those big round kettles you used to see, maybe on television, or these big round kettles that years ago in the cartoons we would see them. The natives would be cooking. Who would they cook? Daffy Duck or something. They'd have them in the pot. You know, and the fire would be going, this big, big cast iron pot. There would be that big cast iron pot. Only this was made of brass as well. And there would be this large pot, and it would be filled with water. And the priest would go there, and he would wash his hands.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Port St. Lucie First Church of the Nazarene is a church on the move. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Wednesday evening Bible study.